If you were here yesterday, you heard me share some comments from Joe Biden in his big spending spree now that he is president. One of the dream ticket items on his list is to replace all United States government vehicles with zero-emission vehicles, electric cars and trucks, to replace the entire fleet, which will cost billions of dollars, by the way. I mean, the government has vehicles everywhere, and the problem is those zero-emission vehicles don't actually exist. And my next guest says it's actually not a very good idea to go to all these so-called electric vehicles because it will create more energy poverty. How does that happen? Well, let's ask Frank Lassay, former Wisconsin State Senator, former member of Governor Scott Walker's administration. Frank, welcome back to the program.
Thanks for having me on again. Good morning.
Good to have you, sir. Electric vehicles will increase energy poverty and weaken the industry, you write. How could that possibly be true in a blooming green new world?
Well, our electric demand has been flat for a long time, so it doesn't cause, we don't need to invest new monies into our electric grid right now because without electric extra demand, we don't need it. When you put a lot more electric vehicles on the grid, as well as investing in new wind and solar, which is the other push, kind of a three-pronged push, the electric vehicles, wind and solar, you're going to drive up electric costs, and it's happening in California, it's happening in Europe, it's happening everywhere. They're decarbonizing the electric grid, and that drives up the cost. And poor people, the biggest part, one of their biggest expenses is their energy costs, both gas and electric. And Biden's policies are going to drive up the cost of gas as well.
Sure, so utilities in general. I mean, utilities in general, whether it's your water bill, your gas bill, your electric bill, those are things you can't get around those, the general rule. So if your electric bill skyrockets, like it has in Ontario, for example, north of the border here in Canada, because they got rid of all their coal-fired power plants, and guess what happened? The price of electricity went up several times. The same thing will happen here, won't it?
It exactly will. It will happen here. Electric prices go up. The wind and solar people and the electric vehicle people have been doing a really great job of lying to the public that somehow we can do this and it won't be cost plus. That is an absolute outright lie. It will be cost plus. Everywhere in the world that they have invested in wind and solar, the prices have gone up dramatically. And 63% of our electricity right now is provided by fossil fuels, 63%, almost two-thirds. So to call these zero-emission vehicles is completely untrue. And I've seen reports that say it takes about 6 years of steady driving in order to cross the threshold and break even on the carbon, if that's what's important to you. I don't believe that's an issue for us, but that as well. It takes 6 years or longer with a big, heavy vehicle. And as you pointed out, sure, at the beginning of the show, vehicles don't exist.
There are a couple of plans afoot. You've probably heard some of these. I'm going to give you two of them. Number one, today, President Biden is expected to sign an executive order that will put a moratorium on oil and gas leases on federal lands across the United States. It'll be destructive to states like New Mexico and Arizona and Colorado. But it's also representative of 10 to 20% of all energy in the United States comes from those places, billions of dollars generated for the states that I mentioned. So that's thing one that'll create problems. Number two, there's a movement afoot to put a little computer, a little box, a little module in every vehicle in America so you can pay taxes on every mile you drive. So the cost of energy is going to go up. Your home electric bill is going to go up. And then the government wants to tax you for every mile you drive in your motor vehicle or your electric vehicle or your bicycle, for that matter. What do you make of all that?
Well, this is what happens. People voted for Biden, and now we're going to see the costs of everything, taxes included, rates included, up, 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 up. And that's unfortunate, but that is the reality of the policies that we're going to see coming from Washington. And it's going to take some years before the actual fracking on federal lands really makes a huge impact, because a frack well can last from 18 months to 3 years, and they will slow down permitting, I'm sure, on existing leases that there were a lot of them let before Trump got out of office.
Sure.
And, half of their budget, half of their budget comes from federal royalties of oil royalties on federal lands. They split it 50-50 with the state government or the Indian tribe. Billion-dollar hit.
You've hit on something important there, Frank. Frank Lassay is here, former Wisconsin state senator, former member of Governor Scott's administration there in Wisconsin. The tribal lands, Several Native American tribes have already said, you have no control over what we do with oil and gas leases. You cannot come in and dictate to us whether or not we're going to lease to private companies for the exploration of natural gas, oil, coal, whatever it might be. So the sovereign tribal nations are saying, what do you think?
Well, that'll be an interesting legal question because they're federal trust lands. So technically, I think the federal government is holding them in trust for the tribes, and the tribes will want their money. This 80% of all the energy in the world comes from fossil fuels. The United States burns and uses 20 million barrels of oil a day. The world uses 36 billion barrels oil a year. This is not going to be replaced overnight. And by forcing this, we're going to drive up costs exponentially and send business and jobs, more of them, to China that is investing heavily in building hundreds, literally hundreds of coal-fired power plants.
200 right now, or more. It's a great point, Frank. More than 200, 120 coal-fired power plants under construction today in mainland China. 80 more in construction in places like Central America, Africa, South America, places where China has come in and said, listen, we'll build you roads and bridges. Let us have a little spot. Let's have a little real estate. Let us have some fishing rights off your coast. China has come into all of these countries, invested in infrastructure and trade for the opportunity to basically come on in and set up shop. That's true, isn't it?
That's very true. And there's another 1,000 in planning. 1,000 coal plants. So as we drive up in the West, our Europe and America, mainly in Canada, we double and triple, and that's what we're talking about, our electric rates. We're going to force heavy industry that uses millions of dollars of electricity every single month, and we're going to force that business into China and these other countries that China is investing in coal. It's the craziest thing we have out there. And John Kerry, we just tried the Paris Accord again. John Kerry negotiated that. And on top of that, we got to send billions of dollars to these other countries. So we're going to drive up our electric costs and send billions of dollars on top of the billions of dollars of foreign aid that we already sent. It's the craziest policies that I can imagine.
Yeah, these policies are dangerous, to say the least. It empowers China. It disables the United States. And here's the other thing, the Keystone XL pipeline, the Canadians have told us this for years, but we were arguing about it 5 years ago, 6 years ago. They said, if we don't send the oil to the United States for refining in the Midwest and the Gulf Coast, we'll ship it to British Columbia in a pipeline and sell it to China. Guess what they're going to do? They're going to build a pipeline to British Columbia and sell it to China. How does that help us? Last word.
Well, that doesn't help us at all. And this is the kind of crazy policy that we have going on now that benefits China over Americans. I think Americans first was a great policy. We should put Americans first. The Chinese put Chinese first. The Canadians put Canadians first. We should put Americans first. And in fact, what we have policy going on puts China first.
Well, we would, Frank, but we need to focus on opening the southern border. All right, so that's our priority today. Frank Lassay, greatly appreciate it. Note the sarcasm. Greatly appreciate it. Former state senator in Wisconsin, member of Governor Scott Walker's administration there. Frank, good to have you. We'll talk again soon. Thank you very much. It's the Steve Gruber Show. Back in a moment.
Pure Michigan water has never been more important than it is today. You can find your Pure Michigan water experts at Wolverine Water. Wolverine Water has been installing Michigan-made products for almost 75 years now. Hometown products and hometown service provided by your friends and neighbors at Wolverine Water since 1947. How about that for a cool drink of water? Wolverine Water. I've been a customer for over 20 years, too. If you're ready for the very best, you're ready for Wolverine Water. WolverineWaterSystems.com.
Avast ye homeowners! Are ye plagued by foreclosure? Well, here at Jim, Lot, and Matey, we can stop your foreclosure now. We're a mortgage rescue company, and for the small fee of everything you hold dear, we will negotiate with your lender on your behalf, and we guarantee results.
Guarantee results!
Aye, the bird speaks the truth. Them's be the benefits of working with a true professional. So don't dilly-dally about. Listen to the wise counsel of your old pal, Honest Jim.
He can't be trusted!
call Jim Ladd and Matey at 1-800-YAR-YAR. That's 1-800-YAR-YAR-YAR.
If you're facing foreclosure, make sure you're talking to the right people. Speak with HUD-approved housing counselors free of charge at 888-995-HOPE. That's 888-995-HOPE. Brought to you by NeighborWorks America and the Ad Council.
One of the things that sets high school sports apart from other youth sports is community. Taking pride in representing your town, having your classmates by your side, and playing in front of your neighbors. It's literally a place where everybody knows your name. You can't get this anywhere else but in high school sports. A message from the Michigan High School Athletic Association, promoting the value and values of educational athletics.